Hello and welcome to the Motoring Podcast. This is episode 2 for the 22nd of September, 2015. I'm Alan.
And I'm Andrew.
And we've got a little bit of news to run through tonight. There's been one or two things happening in the motoring world. I don't know if you've noticed anything happening today.
No, Twitter's been very quiet.
Yeah.
There's nothing been on mainstream press websites either.
Well, nothing. We'll limp through the three or four things that we've got on the list then and see how we get on. So, what is there here? Oh, yeah, a couple of things to follow up from Frankfurt last week. In the last show, we went through the whole long list of all the cars that were being revealed at Frankfurt, and I missed one of them. In fact, I did... Okay, mitigating circumstances. I didn't miss it. They hadn't actually announced it yet. And that was the Rolls-Royce Dawn. So one that we missed off is absolutely not an SUV by any way, shape or form. But last week, Rolls-Royce announced the Dawn. £250,000 worth of Wraith-based convertible. And I think it's a pretty slick looking thing. I don't know if you've seen any pictures of it.
Yeah, it does look nice. But that's part of what I was saying last week about the sort of the opulence.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was, I've looked back at the Frankfurt show and I still feel a bit flat by it. And nothing really leapt out and made me go, wow, apart from the razzmatazz around the Jag release. But the Dawn does, it's a Rolls Royce, it's going to be lovely to be in. It's going to be just a wonderful piece of engineering, and everything will be amazing that you see in there. The stitching, the buttons, the way everything works will just be fantastic. And as one would hope, at £250,000.
Oh yes, quite. It's my house as well. Yeah, at least once over. Almost twice over. It should be awesome, and I'm absolutely certain it will be. And I'm gonna wave my little flag for British engineering. I know people will say, "Oh, but it's BMW underneath," but it's a long way underneath, I think. What else from Frankfurt? Other thing from Frankfurt is the Alfa Giulia that we mentioned last week. Everybody. At the time of us recording, everybody was still wondering when it was going to be launched. So that's going to be September next year. So about a year away, to be honest.
That's, wow. That's a long time.
It's a long preview. I think the thing whenever car makers do this, I always feel that you get a little bit bored of stuff.
Yeah, it needs to, they need to go, there it is. Here is a built copy. A version. Now, in 6 months, you'll be able to have that on your front door. Step, that's what needs to happen, because everyone sort of the car designs between now and that launching, there'll be new Audis. Merck will have done something. BMW will have done something. Jag will have done something. So they're so behind on timescale.
Yeah,
that people aren't going to hang on for it.
What is it saying? It's normally about a 3-year turnaround for cars these days, and that's a third of your time is after you've shown it to people and after you've launched it, which just seems to give the competition a humongous leg up to be better than you.
Yeah,
in my mind, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, unless it's all part of the. Alpha's PR strategy, and on top of that, they're going to, somehow convince people that they are reliable, etc., and they aren't the old cliche and things like that, because there's a lot of work to do to get over that.
Oh, yeah, goodness, especially here in the UK, and I'm sure that we won't get the launch in September 2016. I'm sure right-hand drive will be later still. So there's going to be a lot of Italian car nuts, I think, just sitting on the edges of their seats, watching this and looking for something to happen. I was really pleased to notice that Mazda is still working on Wankel rotary engines. No date for their introduction yet, but still working on Wankel rotary engines. As a former RX-8 owner, I appreciate the I appreciate the wonderful smoothness and driving characteristics of rotaries, as well as their pea poor reliability. And that was
that's it. I see a few round here of those, and I think, God, that'd be quite nice. And then I go, but I've got to be sure that the person has changed the oil every 1,000 miles and done all the other things that they needed to do. I just go, I think I'll just step away.
I'm not sure if I ever said it in, if I ever said it whenever we were in our sort of introductory episode. I would buy another RX-8 if I could buy it new.
Oh, no, I don't think you did say that.
No, I kind of meant to. I would buy another rotary engine, but I would have to be the first owner because I would have to know how it's been treated right the way through. No problem with the engine at all. I love them. But Mazda aren't going to reintroduce them until they're sure that there aren't really any that there aren't really any bugbears in there, and that they are the match for other motor styles. I don't know quite what the right term is. Reciprocating piston engines and stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm really pleased to hear that they're still working on it and that it's not just been mothballed completely. Next up, something we talked about which sprung into my mind just a minute ago, how maybe we should have changed the order here. When we were talking about announce something one day, launch it 2 weeks later, 6 months later. The Apple Car.
Alleged
Apple Car. Yes, thank you. Quite. Alleged Apple Car. Let's keep this one short because everybody else is talking about it, be it a tech podcast or a car podcast or everyone in between. Article in the Wall Street Journal citing sources familiar with the matter, saying that and they did. That was the wording.
I love that.
I know. I do like it. Sources familiar with the matter. Apple Car. If it exists, and it's got a fantastic name. I've just forgotten the name of it. It is Project. Oh yes, Project Titan. Which I think is brilliant. Although I'm sure Nissan will be in there going, can't use that. We've got it already.
It doesn't sound a very Apple name.
It doesn't, but that's only the project name.
Mm, okay. Anyway.
They are going to find it a bit difficult to launch it as being as the Apple Car. But we'll see. There's lots of rumours of them discussing stuff with BMW. Tim Cook's been seen at the BMW headquarters, all sorts of stuff. But according to the Wall Street Journal article, the selling point from all of this is that it's not expected to be autonomous. Electric, yes, but not autonomous.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's as far as I'm going to go in Apple Car rumors. I think that's pretty much covered those. Everybody else is going to speak about that.
I think until Apple come out with one, there will always be a rumor that they are doing a car.
Yeah. Well, there's always a rumor that they're doing something.
And the problem is that Apple keep everything so... Well, it's not a problem, but the way they try to operate is they keep all their cards close to their chest, and then they do a reveal, and everyone goes, you know, woo, yay, clap. And then go away and think about it for a week and then go, are you sure?
Yeah, quite. But,
I just hope that it's designed better than, say, some of their accessories are, which look fantastic. And then when you get to actually physically use them, they're not... up for long-term use because they're not very ergonomic.
No. As someone who once designed a computer mouse, because I really liked the look of the little puck mouse that came with the original iMac, and then actually having not used one of those puck mice, I appreciate what you're saying just there. It was one of the first products I was ever allowed to just go off and design by my boss. So that's completely irrelevant to Apple or cars, but never mind. Makes me happy. So that was it, I think. Don't know if there's anything else you can think to talk about tonight.
Really sort of struggling. I mean, I don't want to, you know, finish the show just 10 minutes or so in. There was some mention of a What was it? I think something about engines in America. I think I'm not sure.
Something to do with emissions. Should we just talk about that to fill in the time? Then?
Well, yeah, we might as well because I mean it won't go on for long. Oh dear, poor. Not poor VW, but you think, wow. The first time I saw anything really about this, it was a tweet that said, "You think you're having a bad day? Have a look at this." It started the story off, and it was, oh dear.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. The whole, I'm sure everybody knows exactly what we're talking about. Do you want to start off with the explanation of how Volkswagen's clever engineering got found out?
Well, yeah. Sort of some sort of irony in this. It was first discovered, or the start of this was when some people who were trying to promote how modern diesels are genuinely clean and therefore better for the environment and air quality tested it in the real world environment and found out that it was really bad. The emissions was nowhere near what they were expecting.
It was fine when they did the test. So it was the European wing of the US non-governmental organization called the International Council on Clean Transportation. So the first thing that us petrolheads go, they're going to be out looking for problems. And the thing is, they weren't. They set out to prove modern diesels were clean and would be able to make significant contribution to improving both carbon dioxide and air quality. The emission standards in the US and the US and many US market Volkswagens are different from here. Okay? But they did notice that there was a disparity between European cars and US market cars. So they decided to test them. Just to show just how much cleaner they were in the US. And they were great in the lab, running the standard test. Absolutely perfect, no problem at all. And then they took the Volkswagen Jetta out on a road trip, and it exceeded all of the nitrogen oxide emissions, emission standards by 15 to 35 times the legal limit. So, So official test, passed with flying colours, out in the real world, 15 to 35 times the legal limit. But the key thing here is it was found out, not by some leak, not by any insider thing, not by somebody backstabbing, but by people who were genuinely trying to prove that they were much, much cleaner. So when I first heard this, before I realised just quite what the numbers were, I thought, gosh, you know, clever, as someone with a mechanical engineering degree, gosh, clever engineers at it again. Ha, 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 ha. Someone said make it pass this test, and sure they did. They went off and they engineered it to pass the test. And a little bit of me was like, oh, that's really quite smart, isn't it?
It was a bit F1, wasn't it?
It was a lot F1. Absolutely not within the spirit of the law. But hey, it passed the emissions test. Which is curious. I mean, it does call into question some of the other kind of tests. Not just anything to do with emissions, but some of the other kind of tests that cars undergo before we were allowed to buy them, really, doesn't it?
Exactly what you're talking about there. I mean, I know in Europe we do it in a different way. You're not talking that difference so much, are you?
No.
Or are you?
I wasn't intentionally talking that difference. No, I was talking about, I was just saying, I was merely pointing out these were US market cars so far that have caused the issue. And that the US market cars are maybe engineered differently to the European market. I wasn't drawing any direct comparison.
But VW have admitted that there's 11 million cars globally that has that software.
Oh. Yeah, I missed that one.
They seem to have adopted, which I would suggest is a sensible position now,
mm-hmm.
that the cat is out of the bag, of trying to be as open as possible.
Yes.
And being as upfront as possible. Because now, because there's investigations in further in other areas, and obviously in Europe, there's a lot of people been asking. You know, I think the is it the transport or the environment minister over here has asked the EU to step in. I know Germany are investigating.
Probably Italy as well is looking for.
Well, I did read somewhere that it did make me laugh because it said the Italian minister was seeking. The quote was seeking reassurances, and then the next sentence of the article said, South Korea are checking. We're not seeking reassurances, we're going to test.
Yes, and I think lots of people will be, and certainly lots of, well, I'm sure there'll be at least one car magazine will be testing. You know, this is... Yeah.
But to be fair, over here... CarMags have been banging on for some time, as well as consumer groups, saying the miles per gallon, you know, those scores, there's a waste. I think it, even Fifth Gear did an article about it. So in these, this isn't, you know, it's almost pointless, but that's the only test the manufacturers have got, which I think is why now the advertising sort of hints it, well, these are under control conditions, blah, blah, blah. Please don't expect this in the real world.
No, is the Fiat Twin Air engine? Certainly, some of the early Fiat Twin Air engines were like that, weren't they? It was almost, you know, unless you drove like going back and forth to church on a Sunday, then it was almost impossible to hit the fuel economy figures that the Fiat put out for the initial 500 twin air, wasn't it? I think that's right. Please don't quote me on that. That's working from memory. But yeah, there was, yeah, the thing is, up until now, you've been able to look at these and go, okay, so some of these, we know that they don't represent, we don't necessarily reflect the real world, but at least it's a benchmark that we can work along, and hopefully a car that did fine in the test. We probably won't reach those numbers, but here we can say that overall it's going to be more economical, cleaner, et cetera, than car A over here, which didn't do as well in any of the testing.
Yeah. I mean, that brings up the other, one of the points that people have been leaping on as well, is that over here we don't talk about air quality.
No.
And that's something we need to do, which is, I mean, there's already been a groundswell of anti-diesel in mainstream press and in, I mean, I know if you read through some magazines, you think that some journalists think that diesel is, you know, from Satan himself, and it's just that we shouldn't have it. And yeah, but there's this groundswell of anti-diesel because, you know, you've got Paris, they're talking of banning diesel cars and all the rest of it, and Boris is jumping up and down and trying to clean up the air quality in London because they're so far off on their scores. But how are you going to clean up public transport and taxis and
that's exactly stuff like that?
You can't just take all that off the street overnight. So the easy target, once again, is the general motorist, and go, oh, well, you swap cars quite regularly, don't you, some of you? So you'll do. You'll have to make the change. But
I have an opinion on public transport. Specifically, I have an opinion on London taxis. And this kind of thing. Because it's great. London's saying, well, okay, we're going to keep you out of the congestion zone if you've got a diesel car. That's great. That's fine, you know. But just look at the balance of what is on the road and some of the aged taxis running incredibly unsophisticated engines that have been round the clock 14 times. And they're just, the, to use a good Scots word, that comes out of them is quite incredible. And it's not, you know, a couple of diesel E-classes pottering around for Uber. It is nothing compared to the compared to the particulate output coming from these old taxis. And anyone who disagrees with me is very welcome to walk down to the taxi rank between the, you know, under Euston Station, between the car park and the actual main station concourse. Come down there and just have a little cough as you come through, because it's really quite ridiculous. And I see that and I think, well, that's just what's happening on the streets. But it's not being blown away or disturbed as much. And it's absolutely horrible. And I would not really talk about Volkswagen now because it's not Volkswagen engines. But I do feel that when it comes down to some of the particulates, particularly in London, there's practically no private cars on the road in central London that aren't hybrids or that aren't, you know, whatever. So I do really feel that quite a lot of the London stuff is coming from public transport. I'm sorry, I shall now put my soapbox to the side and step off it. It really does make me that.
But the point is that there has been this campaign going on about how wicked and evil diesels are, and the SMMT, or is it SMTT? SMMT.
Sorry. SMMT.
Have come out in defence of the diesel and said that they are better and all the rest of it. But, and yes, they are better now than they used to be. You can't get around that because they are, there's much more research and funding and stuff has gone into them. So they are better than they used to be. That does not mean that they are better than a petrol engine. It depends on what you're measuring. And this is a problem that I think has to be resolved. I think it was Simon Harris on Twitter was chatting to me, and he mentioned that there is a UN, the UN are trying to make a global standardization. Now, I can't remember whether it was on emissions or but there's some sort of test where the manufacturers knew wherever we are in the world, we have to hit this target.
I think there's a lot. It is definitely one of those things that should really have an ISO. It should really have a proper international standard assigned to it.
Because if you are fiddling around with an engine locally, it there's another reason why you are building plants in each market you are opening rather than having one or two giant plants that produce everything and ship it out, far less cost.
Yeah, and far less cost emissions, etc. More economical. Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things is we are specifically talking about Volkswagen. You know, everything so far is specifically around Volkswagens. And Volkswagen, you know, they don't. One of the things that people wondered was how are Volkswagen managing to pass these tests without? Yeah, no, we all know that. But managing to pass these tests without some of the more costly treatments that are in there, AdBlue, any of these, AdBlue and sort of urea treatments in there. So just because this has been found on one set of engines from one manufacturing group doesn't necessarily mean that it will be representative of the entire industry and the entire diesel engine as well.
But the problem I've got is because the natural reaction now is, they're the biggest company in the world.
Yeah.
Your immediate thought is, oh, they can't be the only one. Because every competitor will have bought a version, will have bought the new mod, every new model when it comes out, and they will have ripped it down. They will have done deep dive into every single system, all the software and everything. So, people will have found that out, or have the information and didn't realise that's what the information was. So then if they've got that information and they see VW are getting away with it, it is not a giant step for other people to start using it. So
yeah,
I presume now that the authorities are going to start getting hold of you know, similar cars in similar bands and go, right, we're going to do it with all of them now. And if we find anything, because, you know, if one were truly cynical and put a tinfoil hat on, how many...
You would never do that.
No. I know. I'd never come across like that at all. But how many... software updates are suddenly going to be at the next service that people go in for?
Yes.
Because, the figures Volkswagen are putting, you know, are talking about, I mean, there's the $18 billion fine. Now, that's a great headline figure. It won't be that. They are never the maximum figure, ever, because they will be employing very, very expensive lawyers that make sure that figure does not get hit. But they will pay a lot. They will pay a lot. Don't get me wrong.
For some perspective on that, don't forget that General Motors, for knowingly selling, allegedly knowingly... No, they were...
No, it's not allegedly now.
It's not allegedly now.
They've admitted to a certain number of these vehicles.
For knowingly selling dangerous vehicles, it was $800 million.
That killed people, wasn't it? It was involved in fatalities, wasn't it?
That have been proven for directly causing fatalities, I think is a fair way of putting it, was $800 million and no criminal charges. So let's...
Yeah, because there's now talk of criminal charges against VW, isn't there?
Somebody's talking about criminal charges, yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, okay, they have done a bad thing. But again, I was talking to Simon... and he was saying, you know, he was sort of going, sense of proportion here, somewhere, please, from people. Because it is, because they've set aside, was it six odd billion for remedying the inconsistencies or whatever it is they call it. They're technically calling it at the moment, whatever their lawyers have freed them to say.
6.5 billion euros it is.
Now, that's just to bring the car into the workshop and change the software and or remove something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nothing. That's not putting money aside for a fine.
No.
And that's, you know, however, or dealing with that... I don't know whether that figure is to deal with it worldwide or just in America.
I don't know, because the sources I'm looking at, just says cost of the growing scandal over cheating on emissions tests in the US.
Because the problem is we're only into day two of this whole thing really coming out to everybody. So things are changing so fast. I mean, by 11 o'clock yesterday morning, they'd lost 20% off the share price. And they've lost another 10% today, apparently. So, you know, they've lost 30% off their shares, which is an awful lot of noughts off the end. Now, I don't usually look at the game that is shares, but that's a massive... You know, with the big figures we're talking about, that's such a massive cut. That immediately the shareholders are going to get twitchy, because there's also talks that the chief exec's out on Friday.
Pronto.
When Friday was going to be a rubber stamping of, yeah, you got it till 2018.
Yep.
And then there's been a counter from VW saying it's ridiculous that he's out, but what are they going to say? Oh, yeah, no, of course he is. So there's so much happening so fast, and they must be... They must have pulled up the drawbridge and everything as much as they can, because they must have the world's press outside them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this is such a colossally bad mistake. But no, it's not a mistake, is it? That's not the mistake for them was them getting caught. It's not a mistake. It's a colossally bad decision to do this in the first place.
Yes, and to believe that in this day and age you would actually get away with it. For a significant, well, I suppose they did get away with it for a significant period of time.
Well, because the SMTT has come out. SMMT. Sorry, yes.
SMTT.
I'm even looking at it on the screen and I can't say it. How ridiculous is that? Sorry, everyone. But said that today came out and said that The emission scandal only affects the German giant, and there is no evidence that any other companies involved. Well, until this thing happened, there was no evidence that anyone was doing it. So these are empty words at the moment. Yeah, I understand that Mike Hawes needs to come out and say, oh, hang on, let's not all panic.
Yeah.
But the problem that they've got now, the whole industry has now, is if that company's doing it, who else is doing it? Or, possibly, is any of them not doing it? Something like that.
Yeah. I do think that this is something that's going to run and run, and that we're going to have plenty of time to talk about.
I think this may be feedback on many episodes.
Yes, I think so. And I think that this is not going to be sorted out in a fortnight. I think that's what we were chatting in the sort of pre-show.
Yeah, no. This is going to run and run
for quite a while. Right at the minute, it's changing lots. It's changing very, very quickly. And I think that we're going to see some stuff happen in the next week to 2 weeks. And we're going to keep an eye on it. And whenever we've got opinions, I'm sure that we'll both voice them.
Well, here's a question for you. What? I know it's very early and everything's very raw and we're all still being blown away by the numbers and the scale of it. What could VW do to mitigate this? As a consumer, would you be concerned to part with your own money to buy a Volkswagen now?
No, I wouldn't be concerned. If I had ordered, for example, take the situation I'm in at the minute, if I had ordered a Volkswagen instead of a Mazda and I'm waiting for it to arrive, then I wouldn't be worried. Okay, what worries me isn't this generation, it's the fact that all this money is going to be taken out of the research and development for the next generations. And I think that's where the impact's going to be. Personally, I look at Volkswagen and think, well, actually, you've got awfully clever engineers, haven't you?
Yeah.
But I'm a bit weird.
Well, I wouldn't be worried about buying a Volkswagen. I'd be more worried about buying a diesel full stop.
Yeah, right.
Because I think I can easily see that soon the politicians turn around and start saying, oh, you can't have a diesel. Or they move the goalposts and say, if you've got a diesel, then you now need to pay three times more than anyone else.
That was
and
what I was
even,
going to say.
Even though you've only bought it in the last 6 months when you were under the old regs or the old rate, tough luck. You should have known better, even though we politicians have been promoting diesels for a long time now as the saviour. Even though we've been doing that, we've moved the goalposts and you are going to pay for it.
Yeah. Somewhere in the treasury, Jeffrey's getting awfully excited about it and going, oh, here's a new way we can bring in some money, Minister. And that's going to...
I mean, it's brilliant for... potentially brilliant for hybrids and electrics.
It is.
If it makes them think and go, oh, crikey, you know what? I've seriously thought recently, with the journeys I do generally, what do I need my car to do? Because most of my journeys are to do something. Definitely not often enough, but not often I just go for a drive, go and have some fun. So if one of the two car families' cars needs to just do the job, which is run locally with the occasional longer one. If you approach it like that, then you start to think, well, hang on, you know, a Leaf suddenly starts to make a lot more sense.
It does, and I know a lot of people who've gone through that thought process and have bought the Leaf and gone, actually, for them on the company car scheme, saying, actually, this makes a lot of sense. This is great fun to drive. It's really quick, and it costs me nearly sod all in tax.
Yeah. It's all dependent on you having the money to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But which is where, where I struggle understanding every month on month we get there's more cars produced, more cars produced. Mm. Thinking who's there to buy them?
Quite.
Are we pushing ourselves up for a bubble that's going to get burst, and then you know the bottom falls out of the market because suddenly everybody realizes actually there isn't anybody here to buy them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's... and that worries me sometimes. But anyway, that's a different topic.
It is.
But yeah, this VW is going to run. I mean, by tomorrow lunchtime, before we've even published this,
yeah,
there's going to be a whole load of new things that have happened, and it's the figures themselves are eye-watering. The scale of it, the scale of the deception.
Yeah.
As you say, on one hand, you sit there and you go, "Wow, that's really clever technically."
Mm-hmm.
But then to make that judgment where you sit there and go, well, it only says we have to pass this in laboratory conditions or whatever it is that they decided was a loophole enough to do this in.
Yeah.
That doesn't in the end defend them because they've realized it can't defend them.
No.
By the way, they've just gone, we're here. We are trying to be as open, honest, and transparent as possible. We're going to bring in external investigators. We will help any investigators wherever they are as much as we can. I mean, they've done from that point. Yeah, from the information being released that they had done something wrong,
mm-hmm.
or questionable, they have made the right steps.
Yes.
However, they should never have got into that situation in the first place.
Aye, they should never have had to.
But, you know, you're talking people who are desperate to make sure the shareholders are happy that they've hit targets that they... Because they've had such a drive to get into America with diesel, haven't they?
Yeah. And I was going to say they've invested a lot of money in it. They have invested a lot of money in it. And, yeah, they may well just have basically stood there and burnt all those euro nodes.
Yeah,
as part of this, which is a great, great shame. It really is. So, but we shall see.
It'd be interesting to see who goes as a result of this.
Yeah,
is it, you know, will it be people at the top, or will it be people who were sufficiently senior enough to placate people?
I think
when that happens, then we'll get to know exactly what sort of company VW is moving forward.
Yeah, I've got a funny feeling the answer to that is both. There's going to be a top and a tail. I think the very top's going to go, and then I think that there's going to be a little layer further down, which we probably won't hear about, and it might well go over a period of time.
Yeah, because he came out and said 600,000 people shouldn't be blamed for this.
Yeah,
today in a released video, and it's quite right. It is not the poor soul on the shop floor who's making sure that things are welded properly. It's not that person.
No, absolutely.
It's someone many many pay grades above who's paid to make decisions who has made a wrong decision, not even bad, just wrong.
In other news, they unveiled a new Passat in the US today as well.
Right. So people have been clamouring at the doors then.
People were clamouring at the doors, but not necessarily for the Passat.
Because there's going to be all the civil suits now, isn't there? Class action. I mean, I believe there's a class action, isn't there?
The ambulance chasers are out there already trying to start up as class action.
Wow.
I'm on a forum, a US-based forum, which has a lot of TDI drivers. And I don't think any of them are going to be joining any class action, although I think a few would qualify. And just because they don't really feel it's... What's the point, really?
It doesn't affect the car.
No.
So it's not like it's unsafe to drive. The wheel's going to fall off or something, or it's going to catch fire. That's not the issue. It's the something else. But it's tarnished them, isn't it?
Yeah, big time.
Anyway, I think we'd better wrap that bit up there, otherwise we could go on for hours, or I could.
Yeah, I think we both could, to be honest. Yeah, I think so. So, I think that pretty much wraps it up for this week. Now we found that little tiny piece of news that we weren't really sure if we should talk about.
Know, weren't we lucky that that was there?
yes. It made it an easy decision for this week, I think. So if you've got any topics you'd like to talk about, if you disagree with us, if you agree with us terribly and really, really want to join in the debate, that would be fantastic.
Where could they do that with you, Alan?
Goodness, Andrew, I was just wondering the same myself. On the website, motoringpodcast.com, there is a chat function on there. There is the ability to leave posts and converse with us that way. Naturally, we're available on Twitter. We have a Twitter account. There is @motoringpodcast. For the show itself. Andrew, are you on Twitter?
I am indeedy. I am Crept Windscreen. Just put that in the search if you don't already follow me or if you've blocked me or something because you got bored. Crept Windscreen, that's where I am. What is your wonderfully easy to remember and spell Twitter handle, Alan?
It is @ufarochil. That's UFARROCHIL. Or you can just search for Alan Bradley in Twitter, and it'll be the one that comes up with the weirdest Yuzu.
Have you not changed that yet?
I haven't. I can't think of anything yet. I will actually.
Maybe just your name might be worth it.
Maybe just my name might work. Yeah, so watch this space for that changing. I did actually ask people what happened when you changed your Twitter handle earlier in the week. But I haven't actually got around to changing it.
That's my favourite bit, is watching you have to, or listen to you have to spell that out.
The worst bit of all for me is listening to you giggle in the background. Meanwhile, how can you get more episodes of this? Well, we are on all the finest places to get your podcasts. You can listen from the website. You can download from iTunes and any other podcast downloads. SoundCloud, that's what I'm thinking of. SoundCloud, be on SoundCloud as well. Please, if you've enjoyed what we're doing, subscribe and rate us. That would be fantastic. It's a great way so that we know that we're doing the right thing and that you're enjoying it. Anything else I've missed out?
No, I think you've covered everything there.
Cool. Okay, well.
Until next time.
Yep. Take care and safe motoring.
And you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.